Welcome to the broadcast today. Pastor Jeff Shreve filling in for Ray Pritchard, his program Keep Believing. I just had my program Real Truth for today, and we were talking about truth in a world of lies and liars. And as we kind of continue in that vein, I wanted to talk to you about the most important issue of life. And the most important issue of life, I think we would all agree, is where we're going to spend eternity. What happens after we die? You know, the Bible teaches that we spend eternity in either heaven or hell. The atheists will say, well, you know, when you die, you are dead, you're gone. It doesn't matter. All you have is this life. But the Bible teaches that is not true. When God made you and God fashioned you, God made you and fashioned you to live forever. Now, He wants you to live forever with Him in heaven, but He gives us all a choice. And every person who has ever been created by God is going to live forever in either heaven or hell. And so what happens after we die is extremely important, because that is for keeps, that is forever. And Jesus told a story, probably not a true story or a true account. It's probably more of a parable. It's more of a story that we can understand that has a heavenly meaning. It's a little different than his other parables, and that's why some theologians differ as to whether did this really happen or was this a story Jesus told to illustrate a point. But it's found in Luke chapter 16. It's entitled The Rich Man and Lazarus. And it says this: Now there was a certain rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. And a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Such a contrast between these two guys. One is rich beyond a person's wildest dreams. If you habitually dress in purple, purple was a very expensive garment, a purple garment, because the dye for that was expensive, and fine linen, and every day is a big party for this guy, gaily living in splendor every single day, contrasted with Lazarus, who had nothing, who was nothing. He's just dumped at this rich man's gate, covered with sores. I mean, it can't get much worse than that, but it does, because he's starving to death. He's longing to be fed just with the crumbs that were falling from the rich man's table. And it seems to indicate that the rich man wasn't even giving him the crumbs. Even the things that the dogs would eat, he wouldn't give it to Lazarus. And even the dogs were coming, it says, and licking his sores. Just awful. Probably gnawing on him some. And that's his situation. Then it says this: Now it came about that the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died, and he was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. Such a difference, such a contrast in life, such a contrast in the afterlife, such a contrast in where they went. Now, what happens after a person dies? The Apostle Paul says there will certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. Now, Jesus told this story, this parable, for the benefit primarily of the Pharisees, because it says in Luke 16:14, Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things, and they were scoffing at him. Jesus said, hey, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, God and wealth, God and riches. And that's what they were scoffing at, because they loved money. And the thinking in first century Israel at that time was, if you're wealthy, it shows that you are blessed by God. And so in the story Jesus told, the rich man, in the minds of the Pharisees, and the minds, really in the minds of all the people as they were listening to this story, this man was so blessed in his life, and he had the fine clothing and the purple and the fine linen and living in splendor every day. Well, that is just a sign that God is blessing him, that God's hand is upon him. And when he dies, he's going to be taken straight into heaven. No doubt, no question. That's how they thought. But the story has this twist, because it's the poor man, and they would say, well, this man Lazarus, he's poor, he's covered with sores, he has nothing because he's accursed and God is against him and God's hand is against him for evil. As it says in the book of Judges, I mean, he's obviously sinning against the Lord, and when he dies, he's going to go straight to the place of the wicked dead. But the opposite took place, and the poor man went to Abraham's bosom, went to a place of comfort, went to heaven, if we put it in those terms. And the rich man, he went to Hades. He went to hell. And that would be a shocking thing for the Pharisees to hear. It was shocking for the people to hear. And I want you to just consider some things in this tremendous story, because it speaks to us today about what happens after we die. Are we going to follow Lazarus and be in a place of comfort and be in the presence of the Lord? Or are we going to follow the rich man? Theologians call him Dives, because the Latin word for rich is Dives. Are we going to follow this guy and end up in torment, in a place of agony, in a place of flames? Here's the thing to remember. Everybody dies. In the story, you have a rich man, rich man, and you have a poor man who was extra poor, but both of them died. Just because you have riches doesn't mean you can stave off the grim reaper. He is coming. And if you have money like King Solomon, you are still going to die. Only two men in the Bible never died, Enoch and Elijah. Enoch was not, for God took him at the age of 365 years, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Some say those are the two guys coming back in Revelation, the two witnesses. We don't know that for certain, but that's a possibility. But only two people never died, and only one person died and conquered death and hell and the grave, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus in the New Testament, he was raised from the dead, but he died again. And so death is something that is certain for us. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how spiritual you may be. Death is coming. If the Lord tarries in his return in the clouds to take us to be with him, we're all going to die. I was doing a funeral not too long ago, and I said, hey, 100 years from now, everyone in this room, we're all going to be dead. And then I looked around at some of the people in the room, and man, they looked very, very old. And I said, you know, for many in this room, it's not going to take 100 years. It may not take 100 hours. Some of you might not make it till the end of the week. But we have to be prepared to death, because death is coming. And then what happens after death? Notice in this story, the rich man and Lazarus, that nobody went into a place of soul sleep. When you die, your body goes in the grave, but your spirit, your soul, go to be with the Lord, or they go to the place of the unrighteous dead. It's called in the Bible Hades. Hades is kind of the holding place for the unrighteous dead until they appear before the Lord at the great white throne judgment. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 20. And death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And Hades has the soul and the spirit. Death has the body. And at the great white throne, God puts together the soul and spirit and the body. He puts that all together for the unrighteous dead, and they have to stand before the judge, and they are going to be judged according to their deeds. And from there, they go to the place we know as hell, the lake of fire, the eternal lake of fire. But until that time, they're still conscious, they're still alive. And they're alive in this place, as the rich man said, he's in Hades, and he is in torment, and he is in agony in this flame. Such a contrast between where he went versus where Lazarus went, because Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. He's right next to Father Abraham. This guy that had nothing is now, he has everything, and he's right next to Abraham. And the rich man can see the contrast. Hey, we're all going to die. And then the big question, where are you going? Now, you can be sure of where you're going, because it all has to do not with riches and not with poverty. It has to do with what then, as Pilate said, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? That is the issue that determines your eternity. What shall I do with Jesus? The song says, neutral you cannot be. One day your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? And so my response to Jesus in this life determines my eternity. Now, I can't just tip my hat to Jesus. I can't just check a box and say, okay, Jesus, like the Doobie Brothers song, well, Jesus is just all right with me. I have no beef with Jesus. I'm just going to tip my hat to him and give a wave. That doesn't cut it. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What is the truth that he's talking about? Two things that are critical for salvation. Know the truth about who you are, a sinner, a hopeless, helpless sinner. There is nothing that you can do in and of yourself to get rid of the stain of sin. And heaven is a place for perfect people. Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We're not perfect. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we understand the truth about us, we're a sinner, we're hopeless, we're helpless. And unless the Lord intervenes, we are going to end up in hell, and rightfully so, because we are sinners. The truth about who we are and the truth about who He is. He is the Savior. He is God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for my sins. He rose again from the dead on the third day. I love what John Newton, the writer of the song Amazing Grace, he said soon before he died, just right before he died, he said, my eyesight is gone, my mind is almost gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner, and Jesus is a great Savior. He was saved as a slave ship captain. His life was transformed by the grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he always knew, hey, I'm a sinner, and Jesus is my Savior, and he has changed my life, and it's nothing that I did, it's all what he did. And with his dying breath, he was praising God for amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like him. I'm going to be taking your calls in this next segment. The number to call is 1-888-589-8840. We're talking about heaven and hell, about eternal realities, and I'd love to visit with you about that. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. 1-888-589-8840.
Financial business. We manage a couple of trucks and some estates, and of course, our own monies too.
Courtney Trotter talks about the charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation.
I understand annuities about as much as anyone, I guess, can. So I just felt the charitable gift annuity was a win-win situation for many people that still are generating income and still have assets, because you never know when you may have to draw down on something like that. And if you don't ever have to, then it's even a better gift to get to a really good foundation like AFA, a very solid investment, a good way to help do the Lord's work, and it's there to help us as well.
Find out if the charitable gift annuity can work for you by calling the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
They say actions speak louder than words. Here at the American Family Association, we take that to heart. AFA Action is here to inform and help you get involved in cultural and moral issues. You can also sign up for our AFA Action Alert, which will inform you about these issues every week by email. To sign up and for more information, visit us at afaaction.net. Why are you still sitting there? If you want change, it starts with you.
Trump derangement syndrome was a virus that spread like COVID.
Yeah.
And CNN decided, you know what? We're not going to do news coverage anymore. We're going to go full board against Trump.
You're driving your business in the ground.
Yeah. That's why I think they should take this opportunity and go back to doing news instead of doing progressive propaganda.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We read books so that we might understand them. But when we read the Bible, we realize that it is describing who we are and what we are.
Pastor Alistair Begg from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
It's also unique in that it provides the only satisfying answer to the question of our human existence. It tells us why we're here and where we're going and why it matters. It answers in a way that is wonderfully helpful those fundamental questions of life that everybody's confronted by. And it's also historical in that the things actually happened. It's rational in that within the framework of Revelation, it makes sense. There is a cohesion to it. It asks us to put it to the test. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, filling in for Ray Pritchard. And we're talking about what happens after we die. You know, the Bible says that there will certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. And when you die, you can't pull the dirt up over your face and hide from God. You're going to spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. Now, the Bible says for the Christian, for those who have given their hearts and lives to Christ, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And this is the promise that He Himself has made to us, and that is the promise of eternal life. And so a Christian doesn't need to fear death, because we know that we're going to breathe our last in this life. When the Lord is ready for us, we'll breathe our last in this life and our first in the next, and faith will turn to sight. And just as in Luke 16, Lazarus was carried away to a place of comfort, to Abraham's bosom, we're going to be carried away into the presence of the Lord, and we're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. Now, for the unbeliever, it's a horrible experience. Your last in this life will be your first in hell, and it will be terrible. Well, we are taking your calls, 1-888-589-8840. And we have Janet from Texas. Janet, welcome to the program today.
Yes. Your guest that you had on a while ago, y'all were talking about the Southern Baptist Convention.
Uh-huh.
And I've heard from a reliable source here just recently that the convention's going to be in Anaheim, California. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, my reliable source and accuracy, I'm pretty sure, because of who said it. They said that they were, the Southern Baptists were encouraging people that attend the convention to go to Disneyland. And Disneyland is promoting homosexual, the acts of homosexuality in some of their films little children would watch.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, they said they weren't. The guy over Disneyland, he, at first, I forget his name, he said he would cut that part out, but then he's putting it back in. So they're actually still supporting the lifestyle of homosexuality, and the little children do not need to be exposed to that. And Disneyland, oh, yeah, they tickle the ears of little children. Yeah, but they still want to support a lifestyle that is Sodom and Gomorrah. And my heart is in evangelism. I have shared Christ with a homosexual back in the 80s. I went to a church in Amarillo, Texas, and went through evangelism training. And our singles, back when I was single then, well, I'm fixing to be single again, sad to say, but biblical reason for divorce. But the thing of it is, this homosexual was in a bowling alley. Our singles back in the 80s, we went there to bowl. This homosexual was dressed in a, this young man was dressed in a dress, and he was had makeup on, everything. And I said, I'm going to go share Christ with him. I went over and shared Christ with him, and I gave him a gospel tract, Steps to Peace with God's my favorite tract to hand out from Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a call from a, she was in the older singles. This lady called my apartment at the time, and she said, Janet, she said, do you remember going over and sharing when the singles went to a bowling alley one night with a homosexual? You share Christ with him? And I said, yes, I do. She said, well, I know his mom and dad. And she said, his mother called me and said, Ann, my son's a Christian now. And she said, the mother asked her son, said, how did you come to know the Lord? He said, well, there was a young lady at a bowling alley one night.
Oh, wow.
Christ with me. So it's, I was an instrument of the Lord to share Christ. I was equipped. And evangelism needs to be taught more in our Southern Baptist churches than every church. You need to be thinking about equipping your
right.
people to go out and share Christ as I was equipped. And because there is, yeah, if you're not saved, the alternative is death happens, you will be going to hell. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Heavenly Father but by me. But I just have real concern with Southern Baptists. I've gone to a Southern Baptist church for years.
Mm-hmm.
And but it bothers me that
what?
They would be compromising and promoting someone to go to a place that would, you know.
Right. Well, I totally agree with you, Janet, and I would not encourage anybody to go to Disneyland or Disney World or anything Disney at this point. I think they have let it be known where their company is and what they stand for, and no doubt you have good people that work at Disney that get caught up in this because the leadership is pushing the direction to the left and to a liberal agenda, pro-LGBTQI, whatever else they have added. But I would never, as a Southern Baptist pastor, I would never encourage anybody to go there at this point. And I'm going to be in Anaheim for the convention, but I'm not going to be going to Disney World. And you are exactly right. We need to stand up and speak the truth in love. And we need to let people know that, hey, there is a hell. And Jesus died so that you wouldn't go there. He doesn't want you to go there. There's a cross on the broad road that leads to hell. And the Lord is saying, turn to me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. And so it's exciting to see that you are faithful to share and that person responded to that and came to know Christ. Well, we have Rhonda from Texas. Rhonda, welcome to the program today.
Yes, are you there? Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes,
go ahead.
I hope I'm making sense to you, Pastor. that I not being a real bad person or anything, just kind of a person that is, you know, kind of pushed around. And I was just wondering, you know, like when you see people dying on TV, sometimes they make a lot of hard-to-breathe noises and stuff. I was talking about the physical leaving of the body. Do you think that that's a hard thing? I mean, would it be a painful way to leave this earthly body? You know, the way they act on TV, like gasping for breath and stuff.
I think it can be, depending on, you know, what the issue is, as people can die in tremendous pain. Hospice is good about helping that, but some people that have some terrible cancers can be in pain up until their last breath. But I think for a believer, there is peace that comes when their spirit and soul leave their body, because they're getting ready to go and be with the Lord. And so the tremendous release and peace. A man in my church who was in his 90s recently died. He was so ready to go. He just couldn't wait. His wife had gone before him. And although he had family still here, he was just ready to go and be with the Lord. And he knew that he had finished his course, just as the Apostle Paul says, I've run the race, I've finished the course. In the future, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all, also to those who have loved his appearing. And so this guy was so ready, he was so excited. And he, although there was struggle in his body, there was just joy. You could just see it on his face. There was joy that he was getting ready to go to the presence of the Lord. Now, the reverse for an unbeliever when they face death, it is horror, because they're going to follow the rich man, as Jesus told that story, and in Hades, they're going to lift up their eyes being in torment, and they're going to say, I'm in agony in this flame. And they're going to realize, as the rich man did, child, remember, Abraham said to him, remember that during your life you received good things and likewise Lazarus bad things, but now he's being comforted here and you are in agony. And then the guy says to him, he says, well, send Lazarus to talk to my brothers, because if they see somebody come back from the dead, then they will repent. He knew that he needed to repent, but it was too late. He's in hell now, and he needed to repent before he died. And so we have an opportunity in this life to make our decision for Christ. But once that is passed, once this life is passed, then we're fixed to either heaven or hell, and it's all based on what did we do with Jesus? Did we embrace him as our Lord and Savior and Master and King? Did we surrender our lives to him? Or did we ignore him? Did we reject him? Did we just say, you know, I don't have any beef with Jesus. I'm good with Jesus. But listen, we become Christians when we surrender our lives to him. The scripture says he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world did not know him. He came to his own and those who were his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So thank you for that call, Rhonda, and I appreciate your question. The number to call is 1-888-589-8840. We're talking about what happens after a person dies, and the confidence we can have as believers, knowing that absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, he had a desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. But he knew that the Lord wanted him to remain on in the flesh and to help the Philippians and to help other churches and other people come to know Christ and grow in Christ. So he was okay. He wanted to go. He was willing to stay and just do whatever the Lord wanted him to do. But he knew that when he died, he was going to be ushered into the presence of his Savior, that faith was going to turn to sight. And he was going to meet face to face the one he knew, heart to heart. Well, we have Ernie from Virginia. Ernie, welcome to the program today.
Sir, my question was, if a person was convicted when they were young and put it off, and now they're old and that conviction doesn't come, there's basically, I mean, they can get people to pray for them, but if it doesn't come, there's nothing they can do about it.
Well, that's a good question, Ernie. So Jesus said, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And so we can't come to the Lord just any time we want. And when the Lord draws us, then we need to respond to that. Here's my understanding. So that gets into the unpardonable sin. And the unpardonable sin is the sin of rejecting Christ. That's the only sin that God can't forgive, because when you reject the forgiver, there is no forgiveness. The job of the Holy Spirit and his office work is to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And he does. He convicts when you're listening to a sermon, when you're reading the Bible, when you're hearing a testimony or somebody's witnessing to you. The Holy Spirit is working to convict the human heart to say, that's you. You're lost. You need the Savior. He convicts of sin. He convicts of righteousness. And the righteousness is that Jesus is righteous and you are unrighteous, and you are going to righteously face judgment if you don't receive Christ. Now, when a person receives all that from the Holy Spirit, all that conviction, the enlightenment that comes into their mind, into their heart, if they say no, with their eyes wide open, they know, hey, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, Jesus is the Savior, he's the only way to heaven, and they have that illuminated in their mind and heart by the Holy Spirit that this is true, and they reject that, and they say no. That's a dangerous place to be. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, told those religious leaders who said to Jesus, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. He said, you guys are getting really close to committing the unpardonable sin, because you know that I don't cast out demons by Beelzebul. Jesus knew their thoughts, the scripture said. And they were having their hearts illuminated by God's Spirit at that time, and they rejected. If you reject with your eyes wide open, what else can the Lord do? Because you're not responding to him, and God is not obligated to continue to give us light to make that decision. If he gives us a full light in our hearts and souls to show us this is what you need, this is the truth, and we reject it, then we have made a decision. I think if there is any inkling, any pull at all, when that person gets older and when they're facing death and facing eternity, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And the Lord wants to save more than we want to be saved. And God is such a wonderful, awesome, amazing Savior. And so, as that little song says, we sing in church a lot, if you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. But the sad reality is people die the way they live. And if they lived rejecting Christ, just because they're on their deathbed doesn't mean all of a sudden they're very open to the Lord. We like to think that. And we like to consider deathbed conversions. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, in the Bible, there's one deathbed conversion, and that's the thief on the cross. So it shows that it's possible, but it's very rare. Most people die like they lived. And if they lived rejecting Christ, they die rejecting Christ. And it's a horrible, awful thing. Hey, we're talking about what happens after we die. We're taking your calls. 1-888-589-8840. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
they should face some sort of consequences. At the very least, what you put on there should be true, and if it's not true, then it should be actionable.
Major social media outlets are finding ways to block the conservative evangelical viewpoint.
The American Family Association will no longer be canceled. Announcing AFA Streaming, our own video streaming platform, which will allow access to all AFA video content. AFA Streaming is now available. Learn more at afa.net.
Disney caved. After stating Disney wouldn't take sides on the parental rights and education bill, CEO Bob Chapek caved to the LGBTQ's pressure. He has now affirmed Disney's support for gay rights, but that wasn't enough. In the upcoming Disney Pixar film Lightyear, a lesbian kissing scene that was initially cut has been put back in. This is a blatant attempt to indoctrinate our children, and we need to speak up now. Sign the pledge to boycott Lightyear at afa.net.
When an unplanned pregnancy happens to a mom in crisis, preborn clinics are there.
I was extremely scared. The father did not want the child, and he had made me choose him or the baby.
This mother chose life after meeting with preborn counselors and seeing her baby on ultrasound.
I just felt so blessed and the hand of God on me so strong. And I knew then on I was going to serve God and I was going to keep this child and I was going to love him just like God loved me so unconditionally.
Preborn centers met this mom in her darkest hour, helping her to choose not only life for her baby, but life in Jesus.
He was our little miracle child. God's timing was impeccable.
Preborn clinics are the largest providers of free ultrasounds in America, introducing moms to their preborn babies and helping them choose life. To find out more, visit preborn.com or dial #250 and say the keyword baby.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if, like a lot of people, you just have a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing program. There are more than 400,000 members now, and they love it. In fact, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to that of health insurance. And MediShare really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. It's been around more than 25 years. Members have shared more than $4 billion of each other's medical bills. Plus, MediShare is for you. It has saved its members billions by advocating on their behalf. Best of all, the typical savings for a family is around $6,000 a year. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. MediShare has a 98% customer satisfaction rating, and you are invited to be part of it. Call now. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, filling in for Ray Pritchard. We're talking about what happens after we die, and we've been looking at the story, the parable, the passage of Scripture that Jesus told concerning the rich man and Lazarus. We're taking your calls. The number is 1-888-589-8840, and we have Dave from Virginia on the line. Dave, welcome to the program this morning.
Hi, thank you, Pastor Shreve, for taking my call. And, you know, I have been impressed by this passage in Scripture from some time back, and I used it in witnessing as well. One thing that I try to, a point that I try to get across, and you mentioned it before, and that is that the rich man, once he found out that there was nothing that could be done for him, he was going to be in flames forever, and there was nothing that could be done for him. He turned to those whom he loved, and it's something to notice is that he was in hell, suffering in agony, yet he still loved his family. He still loved his family, and so he wanted someone, please, send someone, Lazarus, send him from the dead. They know that Lazarus died. Send him back to tell him, lest they come to this place of, to warn them, lest they come to this place of torment. And so the point is that whatever people we have, too, there's two points. Whatever people we know or love or family members that have died, if they're in hell, they want you in heaven. They don't want you in hell. And if they are in heaven, they don't want you in hell. And so The point here is that we need to talk, and I've approached people this way, and I hope that I continue to do this, approach them by telling them that, do you love your children? Do you love your brothers and your sisters, your family, your wife? Then lead the way for them to come to Christ. Lead the way for them to go to heaven, because you don't want them in hell, and you don't want to be there. Turn, repent, accept your repentance, shall all likewise perish. And so, I tell them the story, and then tell them, look, this guy in heaven, he's in hell, he loved still his family. He loved his family. He didn't want them there. Do that now and save them. Does that make sense, Pastor?
Yes, that's a great point, Dave. You know, I think that's the thing in that story that really stands out when he says to Abraham, "Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." But he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." And what is so interesting about that statement is Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and the people saw that he raised Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus was able to return from the dead. We don't know what he had to say, but they wanted to hear from him. And the religious leaders responded to that miracle and to Lazarus and said, "We need to kill Jesus and we need to kill Lazarus. Men don't repent because there's some miraculous sign. If they won't receive the truth from Moses and the prophets, if they won't receive the truth from Scripture, they're not going to repent." And Jesus said, Luke 13:3 and Luke 13:5, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And so, Dave, I think that is a great, great point. And we need to be sharing Jesus with our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, everybody we meet, because we don't want them to go to that terrible, horrible place called hell. Jesus said that hell was created for the devil and his angels. It wasn't created for people. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He wants everyone to receive him and have their sins covered in his blood, and so he can wash and cleanse and change, and they can be his child and be with him and all the saints of all the ages forever and ever in heaven. So God bless you, my brother. Thank you for your heart for people. We have Rachel from Texas on the line. Rachel, thank you for calling in today. Oh, Raquel, I'm sorry, Raquel.
That's okay. I get it all the time. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. I'm going to try to make it short. I've been a believer, and I've always felt the presence of God with me, and I've seen many miracles he's done. My mom was not a good mother growing up. I always struggled with that. And my own kids, I ended up finally talking to God about it. How can I be a good Christian when my mom was so mean to us? You know, she did horrible things. And then one day he just told me, "Don't look at her as your mother. Look at her as Katie Summerall. We'll learn about her life, and maybe you'll understand." Well, that helped me. And that was when I was 36. And that was the first time I heard my mom tell me she loved me, because I just told her one day I forgave her. And she broke down and started crying and admitted everything to me. Well, she ended up getting cancer, but we were really close. And she still had like a year and a half left. And I got a phone call from her doctor's nurse saying she had declined very quickly. She did not want to go in a hospital, so she had to have 24-hour care. So I made arrangements to go up there because she's all the way up in Alaska, and I'm her baby girl. Got up there, really hadn't seen her in that condition, so it was a shock at first. And she didn't really have no life in her eyes, but when I was there, her friends came by the next day and said her color was back, her eyes were bright, she was eating. And then she had talked to my sister-in-law, which I did not know this, that she was scared she was going to go to hell because of the way she treated us kids. And she didn't bring it up to me, but my sister-in-law had talked to her because she's a Christian. And then I had talked to my mom when I got there, and I told her I had forgiven her a long time ago, that she was going to go to heaven. She was going to be with the Lord. Well, she ended up passing, and then the day before she passed away, a church that she was going to, it's not last rites because it wasn't Catholic, but it was a passing over prayer for her. And they had attended the day before she had passed away, but no one knew she was going to pass away, of course. Well, I had just got through tending to her, and we were walking back into her bedroom, and she stopped dead in her tracks, and she turned around, and she looked at me, and she goes, "Oh, God." And then she fell on her bed and started shaking and going through all the gasping of the air that somebody else had talked about earlier and everything. And I tried to resuscitate her, but then I forgot she had to be in R, so I had to get off of her. And I don't know if the look of my mom's face was because I think she knew she was going, like she heard God saying it's time. But I don't know if the look was because she was in so much pain or torture, or she wasn't going, or wasn't a good sense that she was getting, or because it was happening right in front of me. And now I'm confused. I don't even know where she's at. I feel like I lied to my mom because of what I saw.
Well, Raquel, I appreciate you sharing that, and I'm sorry that that you're torn on that. You know, it's a hard thing to know, because the only person you can know for certain that's going to heaven is you. We can't know another person's heart. And so I remember I was with my dad when he passed away, and I just kept telling my dad, because I wasn't sure at all about his soul, I said, "Dad, you just cry out to Jesus." He couldn't talk anymore toward the end there. And I said, "Dad, as it gets closer, you cry out to Jesus. He loves you. He'll save you. Just look to him and cry out to him." And so I hope he passed away very peacefully. I hope that that it was real for him. And, you know, we want our loved ones to be in heaven with us. But the Bible says the Lord knows those who are his. And for some, we just don't know. And we're not going to know until we get to glory. And when we get to glory, if somebody said there are three big surprises when you get to heaven, who's there, who's not there, and that you're there. Now, that's the last one's kind of a tongue-in-cheek, because we can know for certain that if we put our faith and trust in Jesus that we're going to heaven. But we're going to be surprised at who's there, because people that we thought weren't going to heaven, just like Lazarus in the story in Luke 16, shocking that he is in heaven. Who's not there? Well, I thought the rich man was going to be there. No, he's not there. And the reason anyone's there is because of faith in Jesus Christ, and the Lord knows those who are his. So let me just encourage you, Raquel, just to trust the Lord with that. And when those thoughts start to plague your mind and you get very fearful, just know that God knows those who are his, and the Lord is righteous, and the Lord is good, and the Lord is loving. And so just commit your mom, the memory, all that stuff, being there with her when she passed away, commit all that to the Lord, and just say, "Lord, you sort out all the details. I trust you no matter what. I may never know until I get to heaven what the final outcome was, but I just trust you with all of the details of that until you take me home." And God has not called us to live in consternation or guilt or shame or condemnation. He's called us to live in peace, and he wants the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts. So I pray that for you, Raquel, and I trust that as you rest in the Lord, that he will give you that peace. Well, we have Sharon from Ohio. Sharon, welcome to the program today.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
So I would like to talk about, the woman commented about Disney, and I'm just wondering why anybody has ever started watching them in the first place. Because the Lord said that all sorcerers are going into the lake of fire, and Disney is all about sorcery and has been since they were started. So I don't know why anyone would ever watch sorcery, because they're taking part in sorcery. And like I said, Disney has always been about sorcery and every other kind of weird thing that the Lord said not to to take part in. So I wanted to comment on that. But also, I want to expose one of Satan's little lies, and that is Santa Claus. Now, I don't know if you have ever noticed this, but Santa, if you spell that out, if you actually write his name, S-A-N-T-A, and change places with the, it's S-A-T-A-N, take those same letters, Santa, and Satan's name is right there.
Mm-hmm.
If you write that down right in front of your face.
Yes.
And
same letters.
Santa, yep, change the letters in that same name right around. It's Satan. And Claus, well, the Lord said that Satan is like a roaring lion that goes around seeking whom he can devour. And a lion destroys his prey with his claws. So Santa Claus is really Satan Claus, and has been and has always tried to take the glory away from the Lord and from his birthday and his salvation plan for us. And
right.
It is a lie. It's a lie to tell your kids that there's a Santa Claus. The Lord said all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire also. Now, he didn't give us any exemptions. So we are not to tell lies about anything. And Christmas is the biggest time when Satan gets his claws into people by having them go buy all those iPhones and every ungodly thing under the sun from the rich people of this earth,
yes,
making merchandise of us.
Well, Sharon, I appreciate your comments on that. And I think we need to be careful and we need to be wise when it comes to that. The devil is always working to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. And so what parents teach their children is important. And so I appreciate your comments there. And that is a good word for us. We do have one more caller, Mark from Texas. Mark, welcome to the program today.
Yeah, hi. I had a question pertaining to repentance in that parable of Lazarus. So is the repentance like the actions that he did against the poor man, or is repentance like mean come to Jesus, or is it our actions that we do?
Well, I think both are included in there. So the apostle or John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. So that would be actions. But when he's saying, then they will repent, he's talking about them coming to salvation in the Lord. They're going to turn from their way and turn to the Lord's way. Now, he didn't know, and in the parable, Jesus didn't say, you know, that the rich man was going to put his faith and trust in Christ, or that Lazarus put his faith and trust in Christ. They didn't understand it in those terms at that time. They understood Old Testament theology that you put your faith in God and in God's provision for your sin. And so unless you repent, turn from sin and self, and turn to the Savior, God is their Savior, you will all likewise perish. So I think there was repentance to turn to Christ or turn to the Lord for salvation, and there was the fruit of repentance, which is good works. So great question, Mark. I appreciate it. Appreciate you calling in. Appreciate all our callers. Thank you so much for being with us today. As I filled in for Ray Pritchard, hey, the good news, we can know for certain that we belong to Jesus when we give him our heart and we give him our life, and we can know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and when we die, we will be with him forever. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. God bless you.